1997. I was living in Washington with Yvette. She was pregnant with Jeshua. She was a few months pregnant. And my uncle, his name is Chuck, he's no longer with us, but he's a great man of God. And he was constantly in my life trying to get me right and keep me right, speak into the things that I was doing. So he calls me and said, hey, let's go out on the Columbia River and do some fishing. And my first response is, absolutely not. The Columbia River is scary. Three or four people die every single year. The waters are crazy. There's big barges. It's nuts. I don't think it's a good idea. So he kept bugging me. He's like, no, seriously, it'll be great. We'll catch sturgeon and salmon. I'll do all the work. Just come with me. So I talked to Yvette, talked her into it. So I said, all right, let's go. So we met my Uncle Chuck on the boat. The first thing I noticed was this boat was about 20 feet long, and there was no bathroom on the boat. I'm like, how long could it be for us to be out there fishing? So we went to the bathroom, jumped in, and we went. So we're out there, and we're fishing, and we have a fish finder, so it's seeing stuff that's down below. We can see the depths of the water. A little bit scary, again, because there's just huge boats out there, and the water's pretty rough. It's the winter time, remember, so it's cold. So I really wanted a sturgeon, because those things are, like, round and huge. They're, like, prehistoric, but the first thing that hit was a salmon. And so I'm reeling this thing in, and as I'm reeling in, my Chuck says, now remember how I told you once you get the fish in, you got to knock it out. I go, yeah. So what he did is he told me prior to us throwing the lines in is that once we get the fish in the boat, you got to bring it in the boat. You can't leave it on the side of the boat because the water's too rough. It'll probably get loose. So you put your hands in the gills, and there's a wood mallet, and you got to hit the fish on the head. Bop! Real hard, knock it out. I go, no problem. I can do that. So I'm fighting this thing. I get in. I'm really excited. The fish comes in. Chuck has to stay at the front of the boat steering and driving because, again, the water moves very, very fast. You got to watch for their boats. So I get in. I'm really excited. I stick my hand in the gills. I have the piece of wood, and I hit it. Boom. Nothing. I hit it again. Boom. Nothing. Boom. Boom. I'm like, come on. I'm hitting this thing, and it will not knock out. At one point, there's stuff flying all over, an eye pops out and goes towards Yvette. And Yvette's like, ah! Chuck turns around. He's like, what are you doing? So he lets go of the steering wheel, jumps back, grabs the fish in the gills. But the thing that he did is I was holding it like this, hitting it on the side of the head. He turned it up and hit it right on the top of the head one time. Boom! Knocks it out, turns to me like, you're an idiot. In that exact moment, we hear the most terrifying sound. We look up, and there's this giant barge getting ready to hit us. So Chuck jumps up to the front, guns it, gets us out within seconds of just getting completely taken out. Our heart is just pumping. I cannot believe we just basically almost died. Now, it gets worse. Something happened when he gunned it, and I don't know if we flooded the engine or if we busted a head. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic, right? So I have no idea. It just stops. Now we're free-floating, right? So Chuck's, like, freaking out. He's panicking because we just escaped dying. Now we're free-floating. We can hit anything, and he's trying to figure it out. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm like, don't look at me. I don't even know how to fish. I don't know anything about mechanics. I'm probably not even a man. So stop looking at me right now. I can't help you. I don't know what to do. So the current starts to take us. There's a fork in the river, and so it starts to take us to the left. We're like, oh, wait, this might be good because we're not going to get hit by these big boats. But on the far left side of this fork is just rock cliff wall. So if this boat, it's not an inflatable raft. It's not going to bounce off stuff. So if it starts hitting that, it's going to start tearing it away, and we're going to be in the water. Over to the right, you have rocks and all this different stuff. We're definitely going to go in the water. So we decided in that moment to just drop anchor and just stop. Boom. So we drop anchor. We had enough because of the depth of the water, and now we're sitting there. It's about 100 yards to the left of wall and about 100 yards right to rocks in some other area. Nobody can see us at this point. We just look at each other like, what do we do now? And Yvette turns to me at this moment, and she says, I have to go pee. So we just escaped death from a barge. We just escaped rock wall, and now we're going to die at the hands of my pregnant wife, who's really upset with me. Not a good situation at all. So we had cell phones back then in 1997, but the reception was horrible. So we couldn't get a hold of anyone. We have a CB. Chuck is trying to call the Coast Guard, trying to get help. We were there for 3 hours. Now, eventually, Coast Guard came, saved us, got us off. We were fine. But now, whenever we're driving anywhere and Yvette says to me she has to go pee, I'm like, you can hold it for 3 hours. I'm not stopping. So, let me go back to Paul. Acts 27, it said, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Many said, I believe there is trouble ahead. I'm pretty sure I told my Uncle Chuck, this is not a good idea. I don't know how to fish. I don't think about boats. It's really cold. A bunch of people die, and I don't want to be one of those stats on the news. But he didn't listen to me. Loss of cargo, danger to lives as well. But the officers in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. So let me tell you a little bit about Paul, because some of you may be new here and you don't even know who Paul is. So quick fast-forward version. Paul was a man who was chasing after God, thought he knew God, was going out and arresting Christians that followed Christ, making their lives miserable, thinking he was following the law, and then obviously that upset Jesus. Jesus dropped him to his knees and blinded him. You guys usually just hear the story about Jesus giving people sight or healing them. If you upset Jesus, he just might blind you. So be careful. So Jesus blinds him, drops him to his knees, brings another man named Ananias, a representative of God, to come and go, okay, obviously you upset Jesus. Now let me pray for you, put my hands on you, give your eyesight back. Talk to him about Jesus. Other followers helped Paul so that he could become a follower of Christ. Now we're fast forwarding. He's running around on purpose, telling people about Jesus, doing amazing things, and people don't like it, so they arrest him and he's on the ship, which was also part of God's plan. So that's who he is. The difference here, Paul was on purpose, but he was missing one element. He thought he knew God, but he was missing love. He was not loving people. He was just the law about God. He didn't understand the difference between all the other religions and Christianity, love. And so Jesus had to wreck him, put him on his knees, blind him, so he eventually could see the difference of love. That's the difference. So that's where we're at right now. So I wonder if the people on that boat knew that they had a representative of God with them, if they would have listened. Anyone else here have a problem listening? Raise your hand if you have a problem listening. Yvette tells me I have a problem listening or something like that. I wasn't really paying attention to what she told me. But let me tell you what I don't listen to and I don't pay attention to. Warning labels on medicine. If 2 Advil is great, then 6 is fantastic. I have allergies, and so I take allergies every day. I'm getting ready to get up. I got to fly to San Diego, so I take my allergy pill. And I'm not really feeling good. I'm pulling into the airport. I'm like, oh, I actually think I'm sick. I'm going to take a Sudafed. Sudafed's awesome. I love Sudafed. I'm on the plane. I'm halfway to San Diego, and I'm getting worse. I am definitely sick. Allergy pill isn't helping. Sudafed's not working. I got a Dayquil in my bag. That'll kick it right out. So I drop the Dayquil. By the time I land, I'm traveling with a coworker. We go over to luggage, and it's early in the morning, so she hasn't looked at me at all the entire time. She finally gets her bag before she turns and looks at me, and she goes, whoa, what is wrong with your face? And I'm like, what? There's nothing wrong with my face. I had water in my hand. I'm like, what? I'm not even kidding. Water came all over my shirt because I could not feel the right side of my face. I was miserable. So she's like, get out of here. Go home. And it's a good thing I did because I literally changed my flight and headed home. Just landed there and went back. The entire flight back and for several hours at home, I had stuff coming out of every hole in my body. And I knew I was sick, but I also knew that the medicine that I had taken was about a six-hour window. I would have been better off just sick. Now I was sick and had all the negative consequences, and just my heart was crazy and my face was half numb and I was just suffering. I couldn't swallow. I was like cotton mouth. It was horrible. I'm just like, like I am just dying. And I knew, I'm just writing it out. I'm like, there's nothing I can do. I'm wondering right now how many people in this place right now are in the same situation, writing it out because of the consequences of your decisions. You are in what feels like the worst place and the worst state that you can ever possibly imagine because of something that you've done, someone that you've followed, a decision that you've made, and you just have to write it out. Let's go back to Paul. Acts 27:14 says, "But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run." That's you now. Just throwing up, praying to God, trying to figure it out. And you know that you're in it and you just have to write it out. Acts 27:21 says this. "No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked.'" We will be shipwrecked. It's consequences. You might lose your house. You might lose your marriage. You might lose your best friend. You might lose your girlfriend. You might lose everything because of the decisions that we've made. There's nobody here that hasn't been in that situation, that just has to ride it out. So let me ask you, of the stories that I told, which person are you? Are you the wannabe fisherman, Matt, just wrecking the trip, just wrecking everything? Are you, "I ain't got time for warning labels, Matt. I'm not listening. I'm just probably just going to wreck myself." Are you the crew from Paul's story, just going wherever the wind takes you, wherever the tide takes you, because you have no real purpose? Is that who you are today? See, Paul was on purpose. Paul was on a mission. Chuck, my uncle, was on purpose. No matter what I did to try to get him killed, God wasn't going to let it happen because Chuck was on purpose. No matter what anybody else was going to do with Paul, God was not going to let him die. Because God's purpose was for him to continue to praise the name of Jesus Christ, to tell people about Jesus Christ, and get him to Rome so the whole world could hear about Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. You think Paul woke up one day and was like, "I think I know Jesus, and I'm going to tell the world." No, it doesn't happen that way. He was trying to be on purpose. He was chasing after God. He was trying to do the right things, but he was all law. He was missing love. Jesus was honored by that and wrecked him so he could understand love on purpose. So here's my challenge for you guys and something I want you to think about. Getting wrecked on purpose is the point. That's the point of life. Jesus wrecked Paul so Paul could go help other people through their wrecks. Jesus has been sending representatives of God my entire life to try to warn me about the wreck that's coming, to try to help me in my wreck, and trying to wreck me so I could get right on purpose for Christ. So here's number one, because here's what I want you to know. So if you're taking notes, you want to text this to yourself, this I want you to remember. Your purpose is a relationship with God. That's your purpose. I have people coming up to me all the time saying, I just don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I want to do. I really think I'm going to be an NFL player. Maybe NBA. It just really depends on who calls me first. No. Your purpose is a relationship with God. You will never figure out your purpose until you align yourself with your Creator. Amen. Only the Creator knows the purpose of what they've created. If I gave you guys, if I gave you a gun, because I'm a gunsmith, I created a gun, I give you a gun, and you take that gun and you go, oh, this is the best toothbrush ever. No. It's a gun. It's not a toothbrush. No. It has a little nudgy thing on the end, and that's great for the gums and inside here. And with toothpaste. No, that's a sight. Don't tell me how to feel. I feel like it's a toothbrush. All right. Good luck with that. If I had a bunch of kids, which I do, I have 6 kids, but if I had a bunch of kids all around the same age, and I put them in a room, and I just fed them, and I didn't talk to them, all the way until they were 18, they would become animals. They would be ridiculous. However, if I walked in there and tried to talk to them and direct them and lead them and identify, you have a gift for music, you have a gift for athletics, you have a gift for speaking to people, and encourage that in them, then their purpose could start to be fulfilled because they're listening to me. That's the difference between what a lot of us are doing right now and what we're supposed to be doing. You have to listen to the person that's trying to bring you up and teach you, the Creator, the one who created you, so you can be everything that God created you to be. As long as you try harder to have relationships with your friends over your Creator, you will never achieve your purpose. It's your Creator relationship before your friends. You will never achieve anything, and you'll be miserable, and you won't understand why your life is a mess. You won't understand why you keep wrecking everything, because your friends are first. Your Creator has to be first so you can listen to build up the talents and the greatness that He has planned for you. And here's the good news. And this is a short message for you today, because I don't like to hear myself talk. And I'm a youth pastor, so I only get about 20 or 30 minutes to say this. But here's the good news. Your wreck can be made right. Your wreck can be made right. If you're a wreck, that's actually pretty normal when you are not on purpose. You got to get that right. You got to get that first. You got to make it the number one priority. And you also become invincible, like I talked before. So you get to make a choice today. Are you going to be on purpose with your Creator and be on purpose and plan for Him and with Him along the way? Or you can just be swayed and be taken left, right, up against the wall, underwater, wherever the wind and tide takes you. That can happen as well. But your wreck can be made right. Jesus was sent by God to make your wreck right. He came as an example. God sent Jesus Christ to be an example to you on how to live right, how to be right, how to be on purpose, how to look for the wreck, how to help people through their wreck, and how to get wrecked right. That's all Jesus. It's all in our scripture. It's there for you to read. So if this is the first time that you guys have heard this message, today's a great day for you. And for those of you that maybe you have heard the message of Jesus Christ, but you just needed to be reminded, this is a great day for you. I want to be clear. That Jesus came and willingly gave up his life. He was invincible. No one forced him to be crucified. No one. He willingly came to teach us to give up his life so that you can be on purpose. He walked on the earth, he taught us so that we could be made right, period. Rose from the dead. Went on a world tour after he rose from the dead, proving what he did. In fact, the disciples, they didn't know what to do. They were all held up. Jesus appeared to them. And there was one person who said, I will not believe in this Jesus or this purpose until I see it for myself, and I see Jesus raised from the dead for myself. That was Thomas. So Jesus shows up in front of Thomas, and he basically says, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." That's your call today. That's for you. It's time. It's time to decide today that you are no longer going to be moved around, taken left, right, being a victim, following your friends. It's time that you decide that you're going to be invincible on purpose for God. With God, you're going to stand firm. You're going to put your feet solid on the ground. You're going to be all about it, going where Jesus wants you to go because he has a plan for you. No one else has a plan for you. Your friends don't have a plan for you. They don't even care about you. The only person that cares about you is Jesus Christ. And he wants a great life for you. But you have to give it to him today. You have to decide, I've been doing it wrong. I've been a wreck. I don't want to be a wreck anymore. If I do get wrecked, I want you to wreck me. If you have to blind me, blind me. I don't care. Whatever it takes, but I am in it today. Why don't you guys stand on your feet? I was tired of being a wreck, and I gave it to Jesus Christ, and my life has been an adventure. It's been crazy. I felt invincible. I felt on purpose, and that's what I want for everybody here. So enough. Enough with the wreck. Some of you here today, I know it, are saying, I thought I was in, but I'm in now. I'm going to be on purpose. I'm going to let Jesus Christ finally control my purpose and put me on purpose. And I'm going to be like the other representatives of God that came before me. I'm going to be like those people that have been trying to talk to me, and I'm going to start listening. And I'm going to watch my world explode for Jesus. And there's some people here today that this is the first time you've heard about this power that God will have in your life and will do with you. And today's the day that is for you to give your life to that mission, to be on purpose. So as a church family, because this is a family, all of us together, we're going to pray the same thing. And this will give those who need to recommit their lives an opportunity to do that with us as a family, together. And those that are going to do it for the first time because they didn't realize the power of Jesus to do that today as well. So put your hands out, all of us, and everybody repeat after me. Lord, I give my life to you today. Forgive me for the wreck I have become. Forgive me for running from you and your ways. Forgive me for all the things that I have done to separate myself from you. I believe that you are the Savior of the world, the King over all countries, seated at the right hand of God. I believe that you walked on this earth, willingly gave your life and rose again, proving that you have conquered death. I commit my life to you on purpose, going wherever you would have me go, as a representative of you, your unfailing love, and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.